Let's pray together. Let's pray with Ephesians chapter 1. It's a scripture that I love to pray from. We'll take it from, I'll use the Amplified, but your version may be a bit different. Ephesians chapter 1. Or maybe I use the Passion from verse 15. The theme from the Passion and some of your Bibles that have themes says, Paul prays for the wisdom and revelation. So I pray the same for you and I, that as we spend some time together just to fellowship, that the Lord would bless you and I with divine wisdom and revelation. Amen. Because of this, since I first heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your tender love towards all his devoted ones, my heart is always full and overflowing with thanks to God for you as I constantly remember you in my prayers. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, will impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. Amen. I pray in 2023 that God's wisdom in your spirit will grow. Amen. God's revelation of himself in your spirit will grow. Amen. And that you will get to know God more and more deeper. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 18 says, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is, the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones. Amen? Amen? So as we spend time together, I pray that you will see. You will see because the light of God will illuminate your spirit. And as your spirit shines forth, your spirit, by the power and the ability of the Holy Spirit, will transform your soul. Meaning that your thinking will change. Your choices will change. Your emotions will change. More and more like the Lord. Amen? Amen. In the name of Jesus. We're going to keep it short. It's not going to be a long ministration. But as I prayed and asked the Lord, as I fellowshipped with him, what I mean earlier is that these days I don't go to God and say, Lord, what should I tell the people? You know, I usually just go to God. God, use me as a vessel to impart life to the people. Amen. That the things that you have imparted to me, that I may be a genuine conduit, that you may flow through me to touch your children. Amen. So that's my prayer, that you be touched today. We are in, let me read a scripture regarding Christmas from one of those, I'm sure you all get it, I get different emails with a word for today from God channel, from different, depending on different ministries that you are enriched by. This one is the verse of the day that comes to me every day from the Bible study tools. And this is the verse for today, Luke chapter 2, verse 10 to 12. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddle clothes, lying in a manger. But the bit I really just want to emphasize today as we remember the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is, and the angel said unto them, fear not, he was talking to the shepherds, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I gave my life to Jesus Christ on the 1st of May 1999. So I have been in the flow of the Holy Spirit for 23 years. Amen? I'm 52 this year, or I was 52 this year, October 27. So I've been more particular by the grace of the Almighty God for 23 years, 29 before I was doing my own thing, like most of you were, until the Lord said it's time. Amen? So for 23 years, I've been following the Lord. And I was one of those, I count myself very, very blessed in the sense that I wasn't religious in Nigeria. I was born in Lagos Island. For those of you who are from that part of the world, Lagos State, Nigeria, West Africa, for those of you who are not. And my parents went to church. My dad went to the Anglican church. And I grew up in that environment, but I wasn't religious at all. Yes, I went to church, but was I saved? No. When I use the word religious, yes, maybe I could say I was religious, probably a better term, but I was not a Christian. Yeah, my dad took me to church. We all went to church, but it was just because daddy said, let's go to church. And, you know, it was a good gathering. We enjoyed it. You know, we enjoyed the fellowship. I still have wonderful memories. But when I think about it, it's just God guiding us as he guided all of you and putting seeds in my heart that one day I was going to answer the call. So many seeds from my father, my mother that raised me up. Different people prophesied, blessed us. And I'm sure you all have your stories. Until the day, you know, when I thought I was going to go and specialize and I came to England, but God had his own plan. That the first thing was that I was going to be saved. Amen? But I said that to say this. So when I came to England and I gave my life to Jesus Christ, it was the second Holy Ghost Light Festival of Life. It was in the Wembley Arena. I remember it very well, like yesterday. And that's where I answered God and said, God, I will run with you and I will follow you. But because in Nigeria, I wasn't into Christendom at all. I was like a whiteboard or blackboard, depending on how you want to describe me. And God could write on me. There was no religion in me. There was nothing that God had to remove or change, things that I'd believed. I didn't believe anything, you know. So it was very easy for God to write on me. And God has been writing for 23 years. And thank God for his grace. I've followed the Lord. The Lord's grace is helping me to follow him much more. As I've followed the Lord and I've studied, I'm a man that loves to spend time in God. God trained me in the secular world, so I came with that mind as well. And God has trained me a lot in the things of the kingdom and keeps training me. As I study church history, let me be honest with you, there is no part of church history that is joyful. The church history since the ascension of Christ has been full of pain. AD 70, Titus destroyed Jerusalem. Completely, he wiped it out. According to the prophecy of Matthew 23 and 24. When Jesus said, no stone will be left unturned. He wiped it out completely. As if that wasn't enough, he scattered the Jews all over. Completely. He scattered them all over. Rome took them to different parts of the Roman Empire. If you follow the Jewish history, it's been full of pain. Scattered all over. Of course, according to prophecy of Zechariah and Jeremiah and Isaiah, 1948, they began to regather, according again to prophecy, and they got their nation back, the nation of Israel. 1967, Jerusalem was given, they got Jerusalem back, the Six-Day War with Egypt. Then you and I know very recently, under Trump, Jerusalem made the capital again. These are prophecies, but what I want to emphasize is that there is no part in the Jewish history that has not been without pain. And so when you read this scripture that says to the shepherds, he said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." You need to ask yourself, at least I ask myself, where? When? Then let's put the Jewish history aside. Let's talk about Christendom. Then Christendom came. Second century, the first century, the church in Ephesus. God was not happy with them. He said, "You left your first love." Then the second century church, Smyrna, they were persecuted. Very devoted church, but persecuted thoroughly. Killed many of them. Then, but even during that time, as they were going through persecution, many of them called on the name of Jesus Christ. Called the name of Jesus. So Satan changed his tactics. And decided that he was going to marry the church in Pergamon. The third, fourth, and fifth century. Then that church accumulates in the church in Thyatira. This is the book of Revelation I'm just giving you. But if you study those churches, full of pain, pain. Then under the 6th century, you know, some of you may know church history. Lot, the Thyatira church, that's the Roman Catholic church, became very prominent. But if you go and study the book, they were in darkness. The Bible was in Latin, Vulgate. The people couldn't read it, couldn't really understand it. This is when the time we talk about the Dark Ages. This continued up until the 14th, 15th century, until a guy called Luther came, amongst other British gentlemen. And Luther first came and began to recapture the gospel and said salvation was not by pain, but by grace. This is the 14th something. Then Luther began this recovery work. Then we have the church in Sardis, a bit partially recovered, but dead. Then this continued until we get to the church in Philadelphia. This is the 18th and 19th century, the Brethren Church. And then we get to the church in Laodicea, the church of the 20th century. But if you study church history, you'll also see so much pain. You all know about the Crusades. You know the Crusades? Yeah, the time of the Crusades, between the Roman Catholic or the church, because the Church of England too partook in it, and the Muslims, who was going to control Jerusalem. So lots of, if you study church history, it's been wrought with so much pain on top of the Jewish history. So when I read a scripture like this, that says, "Glad tidings, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." As I study the word, as I spend time in the Holy Spirit, say, "Lord, explain this to me." I begin to understand that God's way is very different from you and I. God is eternal. God is eternal. Let's read together my scripture for today. Go on, Romans chapter 1. Let's journey together as we do this together. Romans chapter 1. Don't think, "Oh, Doc, what are you saying? You're just saying things have been tough in the church." It's true, but boy, it is hidden. There is joy. Amen? There is joy. But we have to redefine it. Romans chapter 1. Let me read it to you from the New King James. It says, "Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David," amen, "according to" that Luke chapter 2, "according to the flesh," in fact, let me juxtapose it with Luke chapter 2 that we read earlier. And the angel, Luke chapter 2 verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. So this is where Paul is, again, taking his own from. He says, which he promised before his prophets, back to Romans chapter 1 verse 2, in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Amen. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. To all here in Liverpool, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I give you a theme for the month of June, the gospel of God. You know, let me read it to you so that you can see it from Romans chapter 1 verse 1. It says, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Can you see it on your screen? Is it there? This is your theme for June. The gospel of God. What is the gospel of God? Brothers, sisters, I thought Sarah was saying to me, Doc, move to where you're going quickly. The gospel of God. What is the gospel of God? Stay with me in 20 minutes. Let me give you what I've understood so far. The world we are living in. Let me give you one more scripture. Revelations and chapter 10. Revelations chapter 10. The book of Revelations. Revelations chapter 10, the scripture that says that the kingdoms of this world, they have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Is it chapter 10 or chapter 11? Is it 11? 11:15, praise God. He says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Let me give it to you from New King James. Revelations chapter 11, verse 15. Then the seventh trumpet sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. God has his own plan. We are in a world where, let's even put aside Jewish pain. Let's put aside the Christendom pain. Let's look at our world currently. Do you see lots of pain? Yes. Where do you turn to? If you turn to the Americas, they are currently suffering a blizzard. Did you follow it? Have you been following it? And they said it's the second blizzard in a month. They had a blizzard like last month. If you turn to the Asians, they had some flood a while ago. Then there's a supposedly another wave of the coronavirus going on in China currently. Upon the fact that they locked up for so long, they've been hit by a new wave. If you go up to Eastern Europe, you know what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. Or if we come to Western Europe, we are talking about energy crisis. I said to them, how is it that the price of oil has gone up? The price of gas has gone up. When Boris Johnson said to us that we only import 2% from Russia. So why the remaining 98%? Why is the price more? Then I'm sure you are following home currently. When I say home, in UK, see all the strikes. The ambulance strikes, the nursing strike, the railway strike, the postal strike. And as you are listening to them, I'm sure some of you may be for, some of you may be against. So let's talk about those that are for. You say, well, the price of things have gone up, things are more expensive, the money is not stretching so far. Those of you against will say, well, but can the government afford to increase everybody's money? Brothers and sisters, let me give you one more scripture. Isaiah 55. Look at the scripture, verse 1. Isaiah 55. There is joy, but you must know where it is. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Look at it. Let's read it together. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Are you there? Is it on the screen? It says, I'm reading New King James. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Go, read with me. Read with me. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without... Brothers and sisters, God is on the move. He has always been on the move. There's a scripture in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. If Sarah and her team can pull it up for me. It says that Jesus Christ has been coming from eternity past. Ephesians chapter 1 says Jesus Christ that was crucified before the foundations of the earth. See, God has a plan. His own plan. To have a family. To have a family. For himself. But God is a spirit being. The Bible tells us in 1 John that in the beginning was the Word, the Father, and the Spirit. But the Father put a plan in motion. That a day is coming in the part of his creation where he will come as begotten. We didn't see it in the Old Testament. We just heard the prophecies. Amen? For unto us a child will be born. Chapter 9, Isaiah. Pass through chapter 7, a virgin will be with child. So the day today that we celebrate is the beginning of the prophecies. The Bible tells us in Galatians that in the fullness of time, you see, in the fullness of time. But I want to hasten to add, God started something in the past. It has journeyed through the realms of men is in history. It is still journeying today. It behoves you and I to know what it is. Do you see this? So Jesus came. Now, I'm not a fond celebrator of Christmas. I'll tell you why. Because it makes us locked in Jesus' birth. But Jesus that you and I serve, where is he? Bible says he's on the right hand of the Father. He's on the throne. He's standing. And the Bible says, the Father says to him, stay on my right hand. Psalm 110. He says, until I make your enemies your what? Aha! So the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the Song of songs. He is not a baby. So I enjoy us celebrating it because it's the first Advent. But I also like to quickly get your mind to look at what God is doing currently. So let's talk about what God is doing currently. Do you know what he's doing currently? Let me sing you a song. Let me sing you a song. I love all the choruses and the hymns of Christmas. I enjoy them. But I've also come to enjoy the Word of God in its fullness. So this song that I want to share for sing to you is a song I took from one of the hymns of Living Streams. It's talking about God's eternal economy. Listen. Is to make man the same as he is in life and nature, but not in Godhead. To make himself one with man and man one with him. Thus to be enlarged and expanded in his expression that all his divine attributes may be expressed in human virtues. Let me say it again. Listen. God's eternal economy, or you could say God's plan. God's plan is to make, let me pick a name, Ebu, the same as he is in life and nature, but not in Godhead. And to make himself one with Ebu, and Ebu one with himself, thus to be enlarged and expanded in his expression through Ebu, that all is divine. That is, God is divine and Ebu is divine. Do you see this? Attributes of God may then be expressed. All of God's attributes may be expressed through Ebu. So now, I bring it into what you are studying today, what your theme is for the year. You said to be transformed from what? 1 degree of glory to... So what is God doing? He is in the business of transforming his church with his own life. Romans chapter 5. Let me show you this scripture. Because if you want to say, Doc, you've given us a theme for June. But let me give you some sub-themes. So the gospel of God, amen? But let's look at some sub-themes. Romans chapter 5. This book of Romans, you have taken chapter 8 from Heirs of Glory. But before you get to chapter 8, Heirs of Glory, pass through chapter 5. You see, chapter 5 says that, let's see, let me find that scripture. Let me find that scripture. The scripture is verse 12 to 18, but I want to find the key one. Okay, let me read it into your hearing from verse 12. Listen, let me read from KJV, New KJV. Chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, you know the story, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come, Jesus. 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, listen, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Verse 16. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through who? The one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as in sin reigned in death, listen, even so grace might true righteousness to eternal life reign through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let me explain it. The first theme, as you study the gospel of God, is salvation, isn't it? Salvation, that's the first sub-theme. But don't stop there. Salvation, listen, is God bringing you out of death into life. But God didn't stop there. Now, God is saving you in life. How? Remember, listen, the death was in your spirit. The day you eat the apple, you shall surely die. Adam ate, the fruit. I've corrected. the fruit. But you and I know the story. Adam ate the fruit. He died spiritually. Because he didn't fall dead physically. It took him another 900 and something years. But the death there was a separation from God. But in that death, all of Adam also became contaminated. Do you see this? So when God now regenerates Adam, which is you and I in Adam, the first thing he does is to reconnect us back to himself. So the life we have now is because in our spirit, we have been regenerated. Or you call it born again. But your soul is still contaminated. So when you talk about transformation, what are you doing? You are saving your soul. Go on, Sarah and your team. Go there for me. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9. It says, the end of this journey on earth today is the salvation of your soul. Your soul is being saved. But it's also not the end of the journey because your body today must be crucified. It cannot be saved. But God says, at the end of the transformation of your soul, he will now give you a new body. Transfiguration. Can you see the process? So, what is God doing today? He's saving you and I. Where? In the church. The first thing he does is to bring you from the world into the church. You see, the church
is the place where your soul is being saved. In the world, you need to save your spirit. So the people in the world that are dead, because they are spiritually dead to God. So the first thing God does is to bring them from the world by regenerating them, and then that whole process brings them into the church. Then the church, he begins to save your soul, which is what you are studying in Romans chapter 8. But then there is an end of that journey, the saving of your body. Now, where is the joy? The Bible says that with joy, we draw water out of the wells of where? You see, salvation is not only that you got saved, regeneration. Salvation is that you got saved, regeneration, and you are being saved, transformation. So that process of transforming you is an ongoing one in the church. So what are we been doing? What is God doing to us in the church? He's saving us in life. In life. In life. And what you and I must do is to see. What can you see? I want to give you a picture. The last time you brought me here, what did we talk about? The bride of... And what's the thing I gave you? The new Jerusalem. I said, you need to see the building. You must see it. John saw it. Didn't John see it? Listen, if John saw it, it means the building is history. It's not future. The Bible says, John saw the building. He saw it. Oh, help me. What he saw? English, what he saw? John saw. Now, it is true, you need to rise to see. The pedestal to rise, the ladder of rising, do you know where it is? The church. Let me give you another song. Let me give you one more song. Say, Doc, why are you singing songs? They are good for you. You can see. Let me give you another song. Listen to this one. This one is the vision of God's building. Listen, Jacob saw the vision of a dream in Bethel. You know the story? Okay. Moses saw the vision on a mountain. You know the story? Come on, let me hear you, church. You know the story? Yes, say it loudly. David saw the vision of the holy temple. You know the story? Come on, let's hear you. Do you know the story? Yes. Ezekiel saw the vision of the house. You know the story? Yes. And John saw the vision of the new Jerusalem. You must see it. You must. Can you all see? Can you all see Bethel? Genesis 28. You know the story. Don't just read them, brothers and sisters. They are not stories in the Bible. They are realities of a man's life. Jacob saw Bethel. He saw it. So what did he do? He poured oil and said, my God. He says, I see heavens open, angels ascending and... You must see it. Was that place not on earth? It was. David saw. He saw the temple. It was because he saw that he was able to gather all the instruments, all the resources that Solomon needed to build the temple. You think, as I used to think, that Solomon built the temple. Solomon did not build the temple. David built it. David built the temple. David saw and gave it to his son. God will not permit me to build because there's too much what? Blood on my hands. He says, so this is the temple. This is the template. These are the resources. Build it for me. Then you know the vision in Ezekiel. You saw the vision. Then you all saw the new Jerusalem. I'm giving you the picture. See these things. This is where your joy lies. This is where my joy lies. You must see them. Because if all you see is this world, boy, Paul says we'll be, might as well be of all men most miserable. But our Lord is not just born. Our Lord has lived. Our Lord has been crucified. Our Lord has resurrected. Our Lord has ascended. Our Lord is in the heavens. And the Bible says that we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What I'm explaining to you, brothers and sisters, I see it. I live here. This is where I live. So I'm not moved by strikes. Because if there is no strike today, there's tornado tomorrow. If there's no tornado tomorrow, there's whirlwind the other day. If there's no whirlwind, there's cyclone. Call it all the names. And you can't run. If you say you leave England and you go to America, there's one there. If you leave America, you go to Southeast Asia, there's another. So I don't live in all those places. Do you know where I live? I live in the New Jerusalem. Full of joy. Full of the power of God. Full. It says, where you will eat free. Then I started today and said to you that one day, that's the journey we are on. One day, it says, all the kingdoms of this world, they will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of our Christ. Can you see this? Yes. So, salvation. The next thing, the life. So your sub-themes, the gospel of God. The first thing, salvation. The next sub-theme, life. The life of God in the life of Ebu. The life of God in the life of Patrick. The life of God in the life of Pastor Fola. The life of God in the life of Joshua. The life of God in each of your lives. Supplanting your life. Growing in you. Taking over everything that is you to become all of God. Amen? And finally, what is the purpose of salvation? What is the purpose of that life? To make you a building. A building for who? For God's habitation. Last scripture, and with that, we pray. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me read it into your hearing, and let's pray together with that if you rise to your feet. So, Merry Christmas. But please, journey in the Lord. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 20 and 21 and 22. I believe the last two verses, Ephesians chapter 2. Let us close with that. As you get ready to see the things of God and grow in the things of God. Maybe we read from 19. Are you there? Is it on the screen? Ephesians chapter 2 from 19. Brothers and sisters, be full of joy. Where is the joy? It's in the kingdom. And where is the kingdom? It's here. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 2 from 19 to the end. Read with me. Father, in the rise, please. Let's rise and take it as a prayer. So, Merry Christmas. Yeah. Enjoy the feastings, but stay in the Lord. Are you there? We do it on three. Are you all there? Let's read together. One, two, and three. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple, in whom also you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Amen. Simple prayer in the name of Jesus. I am being built together with my brother. Hold your hands, please. One person to your left, one person to your right. Yeah. In the name of Jesus, I am being built together with my brother, with my sister. I am not a stranger. She is not a stranger. He is not a foreigner. But we are fellow citizens with all the saints, not only here in Liverpool, but all over the world. We are members of the household of God. We are being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate today, but he's coming back. as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Song of Songs. He is going to be the chief cornerstone. We are a whole building. We are being fitted together. We are growing into the holy temple of the Lord, where God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are going to dwell, in the name of Jesus.